The Irish Times, election 2011.
Hello there, I'm Killian Doyle. I'm the Deputy Online News Editor of the Irish Times. Welcome to the Irish Times Election 2011 podcast. In today's edition, we have our Western correspondent, Lorna Siggins, telling us about the Mayo constituency, where Fine Gael's Enda Kenny, who's a future potential Taoiseach, is running. Omar Kennedy will introduce us to the new live blog, which is running on the irishtimes.com. And Hugh Linehan has been talking to Andrea Pappin from election2011.ie. First off, reporter Aoife Carr explains how to check if you actually have a vote.
Today is the last day for people not yet registered to vote to get their name on the supplementary register. So you can get the application form from www.checktheregister.ie. You fill that in, get it signed at a guard at the station and hand deliver it to your relevant local authority by the end of today for inclusion on the register. And even if you have a query about whether you're registered or not, you can go online to that site and check if your details are correct. It's checktheregister.ie, so www.checktheregister, all one word, .ie. Currently, Irish people living overseas can't vote, but there is a movement starting up to a campaign to allow this to happen. If you visit ballotbox.ie, you can see it's a website set up by recent Irish emigrants to Canada. It's being run by volunteers based in Dublin. And it's allowing people to cast a symbolic vote to highlight what the organisers see is a disenfranchisement of Irish emigrants in contrast with people in other states who are allowed to vote when they live abroad.
Now, you probably won't be surprised that here in irishtimes.com we're very interested in the question of how important online is in the narrative of this general election campaign. People have been saying for years that elections are going to go social, that elections are going to be carried out increasingly through digital media. It never quite seems to happen, but maybe it is happening a little bit more now. And as that starts to happen, a multiplicity of new voices begin to emerge. We welcome that because we're all for diversity here in the Irish Times. I'm actually joined by one of those voices, Andrea Pappin, who runs election2011.ie. Andrea, hi. What's the function or the purpose of election2011.ie?
It's basically a website set up by my fantastically bearded friend and myself to explain to people how to vote in an entirely non-anarchy way. We want everyone to kind of vote nationally, because if this isn't a national election, I don't know what is.
And so you have a political position?
Between the two of us, we make up kind of the West Side Story of politics, because Jason, who's the fellow founder, was a former PD candidate, and I used to work for the Labour Party in the last election. So we kind of keep each other in check in terms of it. And we say on the website where we're biased and say that we are, because everybody votes. And this website's allowed us to vent our frustrations and hopefully answer a couple of questions and just really get people to understand the basics of the voting system without getting into that kind of pointy-headed detail that everyone gets into. It really isn't that difficult to explain it.
So do I take it from what you say when you're saying encouraging people to vote nationally that you won't be encouraging people to vote for the Michael Lowrys or the Michael Healy Rays of this world?
We do tackle that, actually. One of the parts of the website is about what it is to vote independent. And what's interesting in this election, I don't know if you're finding it as well, I think that there is a new type of independent that's kind of starting to come through, which is the unique, nationally focused independent candidate, rather than exactly the lads who are really up for the Save the Local Hospital / Dog Park / whatever you're into.
So these are the Somerville and Rosses and the Fichnuas and the...
Yeah, and the John McGurks and the... Exactly, all those kind of guys. So we do point that out. We do say, listen, if you vote independent, you know, it usually means you don't have a particular opinion on how the country wants to be run, with a couple of exceptions.
It's funny, I was listening to the radio this morning, as you do, and the hospital candidate, I think it was, in Roscommon, was arguing that even though he's standing on a Save Our Local Hospital ticket, that essentially fits into a broader... that there are a range of Save Our Hospital candidates around the country, and they all have a position on the way in which the HSE should deal with local and regional issues. So that in a sense, to some extent, he was saying he is a national candidate, even though you might see his agenda as being purely local.
Isn't that interesting, though? Because I've seen enough elections at this stage to know that that's a big difference, because previously they wouldn't have had to be forced onto that national agenda. Too often in Ireland, there's a couple of typical habits of the Irish voter, and one of them is we nearly always vote for the Asher, he's a decent skin kind of approach. Like, I know his dad kind of element of putting down the ballot paper too often. This election, for the first time, that habit is starting to shift. And you get a feeling, even just anecdotally, even when you're reading through the Twitter feeds and other elements, you see people kind of going, actually, I'm getting questions on the economy. I'm getting questions on national education, on healthcare, broader ones, rather than what will you do for me?
Do you think that'll really be the case, though, when it comes to Friday the 25th and people actually go in to cast their ballots? Those local allegiances and family allegiances are still very important, aren't they?
I think there'll still be absolutely a swing back. Of course there will be. And we are trying to break a habit of a national lifetime, if that makes sense. But I think that more than ever, there'll be people walking in going, no, I want that person to lead our country. And these are the policies in terms of tax and spend and public cuts that I want or I don't want. I think we'll see that more.
I suspect that you're a little bit of a political train spotter and that you like the mathematics and the mechanics, the kind of fascinating ways in which the single transferable vote can play out in our multi-seat constituency. But I also suspect if you're interested in privileging the national issue over the local candidates, that you'd have some sympathy for the proposals for political reform to change the system. Do you think this might be the last general election held under this system?
I'm not sure whether it's interesting because I separate them out, actually. I think the political reform, you're absolutely, I don't know if you saw it in my face or something, but yes, I am very passionate about political reform and some very practical elements to it, I think, that need to take place. But people do get a little bit obsessed with the voting system, I find, and they see this as the panacea, like the one thing that's going to change the system. And then it moved on, I found, then suddenly to let's get rid of the Seanad. I think we actually will be quite reluctant to get rid of our current system in the fact that it is very representative. Around 90% of Irish people end up with a TD that they like, as opposed to the British system where it's around 25%.
Well, the British system must be one of the most unproportional systems in the world, so it's not necessarily the best comparison.
Yeah, but there is, but it is, I think, a useful one to sort of note that people kind of assume representation and that kind of a direct correlation, and it doesn't always happen. And that's a benefit of our system, and there's other weaknesses. And I think we'll start to see national ballots. I always like the idea of getting two ballot papers, one for my local and one for my national. So you have a certain amount of TDs that are nationally focused who don't have to constantly think about doing constituency work or doing the medical cards and other elements. If people want their TDs to take care of that, fine. But let's get
the other guys in. Of course, you end up with a list system. And as we know from the history of, for example, Taoiseach's appointments to the Seanad, list systems don't necessarily always deliver the best best representatives either.
To be honest, I think if we do that in a transparent way, like other countries do it, it's very open in terms of published lists. And that's where we start creating a bit of mischief. And that's why we've actually done this website. The whole purpose behind election2011.ie is to get people realising that we are responsible for those lads in that house. And so everyone's saying, oh, they're a disgrace, they're all the same. That's a reflection on us, because every single one of them needs between 6,000 and 10,000 votes to get into that house. And that's us who are doing that. And we have this incredibly powerful thing, which is our vote. We also have a very unique system in our voting system. The other bit that we entirely overlook, we have lads who come knocking on our door looking for our vote. When I talk to pals of mine from other European countries, their jaws drop to the floor when you tell them, oh yeah, no, guys knocking on the doors. And instead, what we do is we use that time, I think, to ask horribly polite questions. We have got to realise how powerful we are in the system and actually start using that and realising the responsibility we have in terms of them being a reflection of us.
Well, to come back to the question then I put at the outset, social media allows people to actually talk to other people directly in a way that they may be able to do it more openly than they do when face-to-face on the doorstep on a windy February evening. But I wonder, how important do you think digital media is going to be in this election, or is it going to be as important as, for example, this whole TV debates thing which is going on, or is it still a subsidiary element? Is it more important or less important than posters on lampposts?
It won't replace another one. I think it's actually another card in the deck that people now need to play and to manage. Just from seeing, I worked on the 2007 campaign and there was divil a bit of all this kind of chat about Twitter and Facebook and other elements like that. And I remember, do you remember?
Is Twitter not just a big room though with about 2,000 or 3,000 people talking to each other all the time?
A bit of it, but I have to say, I find it a fascinating thing. Now, I have to be very mindful when I'm on Twitter of going, there is a certain type of person who's on here. So it is not entirely reflective of Irish society. But there's a couple of elements I love about it. I do find that when rumours start to break on Twitter, have you found more often than not, they actually have validity much more than the Chinese whispers.
Sure.
And I feel like it's that kind of Adam Smith, you know, invisible hand kind of element pushing on the retweeting.
I tend to agree with you, but it'll be interesting to see when we look back in this election to see who else at a turning point in that way. We have to leave it there. But listen, thanks very much for coming in to chat today. Andrea Papin's site is called?
Election2011.ie.
Election2011.ie. Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks very much, you.
The Irish Times, Election 2011, Constituency Profiles.
Lorna Siggins, Mayo. Mayo is a five-seater and it's Fine Gael's strongest constituency, and by rights, they should perhaps be running five candidates for the five-seater, given that the party leader, Enda Kenny, is running in Mayo. The outgoing TDs are Enda Kenny, Fine Gael leader, his party colleague Michael Ring, who's a poll topper or comes second behind Enda Kenny, as happened last time, and GAA manager John O'Mahony, who's over in the east of the county. Then you have Fianna Fáil's Dara Cleary, who is a junior minister in the outgoing government, and he's one of the young Fianna Fáils who actually coined that phrase, Ogra Fianna Fáil. And Beverly Flynn of Fianna Fáil, who had been an independent for a time in that constituency as well, and who decided before this election that she wasn't going to stand. Fine Gael is running the same team, including Michelle Mulhern, who was mayor of Ballina and who ran in 2007 and polled very well. She actually polled, 5,500 first preferences in 2007. So you have Kenny, Ring, Mulhern and O'Mahony on the Fine Gael ticket. You then have Derek Leary obviously running again for Fianna Fáil, who would also be very strong in Ballina, and he'll be running head-to-head against Michelle Mulhern. Fianna Fáil has also added a second name to the ticket, a new name, Lisa Chambers, who's a trainee barrister, and they're hoping that maybe she might sweep up some votes, presumably for Cleary. You have a Sinn Féin ticket of two women, Therese Ruan, who's the sister of the North Minister for Education, Katrina Ruan, and who's involved in Mayo Intercultural Action, and she's worked with marginalised and community organisations. And Rose Conway Walsh, who's up in the Belmullet area, who actually has a master's in local government. She's a mother with a couple of young children, and she would be very well known in the Erris area, and she did very well in the last local elections. Labour is running Dr. Gerry Cowley. Now, Labour has a very, very small percentage of the vote in Mayo. It's not a Labour area. They got 1.16% of first preferences in 2007. And Dr. Gerry Cowley, who is a GP, well known on health issues, and working with returned emigrants. And he topped the poll in Mayo in 2002, something that Fine Gael will never forgive him for. And then he lost his seat in 2007. Some observers think that was because he became very involved with the Erris community opposed to the Carb Gas project on health and safety grounds. But as Cowley has pointed out himself, he actually topped the poll in areas like Rossport. He did very well, and he is still in favour of a windfall tax and a better deal on the oil and gas licensing issue. So he says he hasn't turned his back on that issue, but he's also very involved in health and emigration issues. Then there's a number of independents. There's a Green Party candidate, John Carey, who's in Kilmaine. And then you have independents, including Michael Kilcoyne, who would be the strongest of the independents, Martin Daly, Loretta Clark, who's one of the oldest candidates in the general election at 75, and she's running on a charter for the elderly, and Clifford Reid. And Michael Kilcoyne is a candidate that all of the parties will be worried about, because Kilcoyne is a former member of the Labour Party who left the party when he didn't get added to the to a local election ticket. And he has done very well. He was elected as an independent councillor in 2004 and in 2009. Pulled a very, very strong vote in 2009. He's a former chair of the Consumer Association of Ireland. He's a SIT2 area organiser, and he has also held a clinic in Castlebar every Saturday for the last 6 years. All the parties would probably like to say that Carb Gas is not an election issue, because they like to pick the election issues, and obviously jobs and emigration and the temporary layoffs at the Baxter Healthcare plant in Castlebar, they would be real issues, and health issues and the future of Mayo General Hospital, that's always a concern. But Carb is the elephant in the room, if you like. Carb has split communities up in Erris. There has been a lack of real political involvement, apart from people like Dr. Gerry Cowley and Michael Ring, who has always been very supportive of the community up there, and that's part of his electoral area, if you like. And there would be people who would say that Enda Kenny's failure to have any real involvement in finding a solution to Carb is one of the reasons that perhaps he isn't actually Taoiseach material, given that this project has, is in his constituency and has been a source of a lot of controversy and heartache and upset over the last 10 to 12 years. I think that Fine Gael will definitely take back its three seats. I'm just not sure now that it will make the fourth one. And that's really because Dara Cleary is very strong, and also because Michael Kilcoyne is a force to be reckoned with. And it's something that Labour obviously would be very upset about as well, that Kilcoyne decided to become a late entry in this race. So I actually think it will be Fine Gael 3, Fianna Fáil 1 and Independent 1, for which I will probably be hung.
The Irish Times, election 2011.
My name is Owen Burke Kennedy, and I'm an online journalist. In the new integrated environment of the Irish Times, I roam between writing directly for the newspaper and working online and covering news online. So I suppose you could call me a multimedia journalist. Yesterday, we started our first live blog of the election campaign. This election, we're endeavouring to broaden our coverage of the election campaign by branching into different media, such as video, audio, and by blogging and integrating our coverage with Twitter. The live blog has the advantage of bringing more immediate, up-to-the-minute news from the campaign trail to our readers. The informal nature of the medium also allows us to cover the lighter, quirkier side of things better. And of course, the format allows us to interact with our audience, publishing their comments and engaging in debate. So the medium allows us to react quickly to developments on the campaign trail, which we've been endeavouring to do for some time with the use of different media. We started this morning at about 7:30 a.m. The difference between a live blog and a normal blog is that we can cover different events and wide-ranging news items and different styles of informal and formal coverage. Yesterday we covered various political reform agendas set out by the main parties and the controversy surrounding Enda Kenny's attendance, or I should say non-attendance, on the TV3 debate tonight. But also we covered some of the lighter stories, like Eamon O'Queeve's snooze at the Fianna Fáil launch and some of the offbeat election videos that have been going around on YouTube, including a song dedication to Independent candidate John Dillon, and of course Dillon Haskins, Dublin South East candidate, and his YouTube hit It Starts Here. But above all, the format allows us to roam across different media and alternate between formal and informal news, and we feel it suits our audience better. Yesterday it was quite interesting. We had a number of comments on Kenny and his vetoing of the TV3 debate tonight. Contrary to a lot of the media outlets reporting that it was damaging Kenny's campaign, we found that a lot of readers actually commented in support of Kenny and his stance on the TV3 debate. So there was a kind of divergence between what you might read in the paper and what we were hearing, I suppose, on the street and from our online audience. We also got a number of contributions on differing subjects like immigration and mental health policies and why parties weren't frontlining these issues in their campaign so far. So we are dragging in quite a disparate number of comments and views from our audience. Our live blog and comment box are linked straight off the homepage at irishtimes.com, and they're also showcased on the homepage of our election 2011 site, which is also linked from the homepage of irishtimes.com.
That's all for today in our election podcast. You can join us for the latest election news on irishtimes.com/election2011, or you can follow us on Twitter @ITElection.